Hidden Treasure is the name of the message here. I want to begin by asking you a question this morning. Have you ever been called a loser? Now think back. Has anyone ever called you a loser? Or has anyone ever said that you're just not talented enough, or you're not smart enough, or you're just not strong enough? Have you ever felt that way? Maybe it was something a parent said to you, and in so many words, it was kind of like this. Or maybe you had a job, opportunity for a job, and you went there, and then you didn't get the job, and it made you feel like all of this. It made you feel like you weren't smart enough, strong enough, talented enough to even get this job, which you thought, well, anybody should get this job. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a scientist. What is the word? Rocket scientist to do this job, and then they didn't even hire me. Have you ever felt that way? Years ago, when I was studying to go into the pastorate, one of the teachers, he made a statement that really hurt my feelings at the time. I remember when I went home and told Sharon what this particular teacher said, she took it worse than I did. But basically, he said this. He said, "You'll never pastor a large church in a large city because you're not sophisticated enough." That's what he told me. I've never forgotten that. And it hurt my feelings. I was a young fellow that struggled with a little bit of a low self-image anyhow, because, you know, struggled with the idea that maybe I can't do this anyways. You know, some of you have probably been there. But that didn't help that much when he said that. But needless to say, it did hurt. It didn't build me up very much, encourage me. Because everybody has this goal, this, oh, you know, what I'm going to do for God kind of vision, you know, and how when you go, you know, everybody's going to love you, and, you know, church is going to grow, and I'm going to be this big shot. You know, every young fella that's in Bible school or seminary has thoughts like that. They're not like craving to be the little guy in the little town that has 17 people. They're craving more like, I'm going to be like, you know, Charles Swindoll or whatever. Because you hear all those guys and the ministries they have. Well, anyways, it was pretty hurtful. How should have I responded to that statement? How should we all respond when someone, well-intentioned or not, put us down? Well, I should have responded as the Apostle Paul did when people he knew, enemies and friends alike, who put him down. See, people did put him down. He was not some giant of a man who was a great orator, a great speaker. Many think that he was not much to look at. In a lot of ways, not very, very talented. If he'd run for president, he wouldn't get elected because he wouldn't look good on TV. He wouldn't have been a dynamic speaker. Many believe that was the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul, when he was put down, how did he respond to his critics? Paul said, "You're right." Paul said, "I agree with you. Those criticisms." And see, that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says. Paul says this, "All I am is a clay pot." That's all I am, apart from Christ, apart from His life in my life. All I am is a clay pot. And you need to know this morning, that's all you are too, is a clay pot. Just an ordinary, weak, unsophisticated clay pot. In ancient times, a clay pot was just a common, cheap, breakable, disposable, replaceable item in the house. It was something that had little value, but yet was very useful. But when its use wasn't there any longer, it got old or broken or whatever, they would just pitch it, just throw it away. See, if you went to town to buy a clay pot, you'd probably go down to the dollar store to get it, not to Macy's. And see, Paul says, I'm just a clay pot. You're just a clay pot. We all think that we probably sit on a Macy's shelf. But Paul says, no. The King James calls this an earthen vessel. It was just made out of dirt. And isn't it true that's all we're made out of, is dirt? So we're just a clay pot. You could take your clay pot, your clay jar, and you could paint it up and make it look really good and really pretty. And you could take some ribbon and a bow and put on the clay pot and set it on the shelf, and everybody kind of ooh and ah and comment how wonderful and pretty it looks. You know, some of us clay pots put the tie on and try to look. Well, when it's all said and done, all it would be, it still is just a clay pot. And no matter how we decorate ourselves up so we look presentable in front of people, all we are is a clay pot, he says. See, the problem that we all have is we think we are more than just a cracked pot that has little value in and of itself. And see, when we see ourselves that way, we have a tendency or the attitude that, well, I deserve more than what I'm getting here. I, as a pastor, I'm not just a clay pot. I deserve that church or that ministry. I deserve more than that. I deserve to live in that big house over there in that part of town and not in this. I'm not a clay pot. I'm more than a clay pot. So, if we think life is not fair, it's often because we think we're more than a clay pot. If we think God is not fair, it's because we think we're more than a clay pot. And not only that, if we think we're more than a clay pot, which in fact, that's all we all are, no matter who we are, we'll have a tendency to look down on other people, thinking and feeling, well, I'm not as bad as they are. Do you know this? And I've learned this this last year, I guess. Do you know that alcoholics will look down on drug addicts, thinking that at least I'm not a drug addict? See, they think, well, he's the clay pot, cracked. I'm not so bad. I'm at least not that. See, we all do that, don't we, from time to time. See, the truth of the matter is there is no difference. A difference in the substance they're having trouble with, but there's no difference in who they are. We're just clay pots, you and I. Cracked clay pots, marred clay pots. Yes, our cracks are different. Our wrinkles are different. The size of the clay pot's different. We're different. A lot of it goes back to experience. But all we are these different, cracked, marred clay pots. Paul says, I'm just a clay pot. Called of God to be an apostle. Yes. Used of God in mighty ways. Yes. But it really had nothing to do with me. See, we all need to come to understand and know that there's no difference between those that are here and may not go to, say, celebrate recovery. There's no difference between you and those that go. See, those that go are clay pots. Those that come here that don't necessarily have issues and they think they don't need to go, that's how we are. That's how we need to, in some ways, see ourselves. See, I have found out something important. Every one of us are addicted to something. Every single one of us are addicted to something. And you know what that something is? We're all addicted to sin. We're all addicted to sin. And Galatians talks about that. It gives a list of sins in the book of Galatians. It's called the fruit of the flesh. And one of those in the list is wrath, anger. Another one is jealousy, you know. But then in that middle of that list is drunkenness and murder. See, all of those are fruits hanging on the same tree. And so, yeah, our fruits are different. But isn't it kind of foolish to think my fruit's better than your fruit and we're all from the same tree? See, according to Galatians, we're all fruit hanging on the same tree. And you know what victory is? Do you know how to solve that problem? Do you know what we all need? Is the tree needs to be cut down. What we want to do is we want to deal with the fruit. We want to take care of the fruit and make it look better. But as you read down through the book of Galatians, well, let me show this. I'm going to take the time to do this. Galatians, I don't have it on the screen there or nothing, but let me just show you here. It says this, if I can find it. Galatians. It gives the list of the sinful nature in verse 19, 20. The acts of the sinful nature: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. You say, well, I haven't done witchcraft lately. Well, what about hatred? How are you doing there? Discord. Have you ever caused discord? Disruption? He says, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. And then he goes, and the like. Add the rest of them there if you would like. There's the list. They're called fruit, because then he lists the fruit of the Spirit there. But he says the only way that we can deal with this is through death. I was trying to find it there. Anyhow, it's there. I saw it this morning. It talks about being crucified and death. 24? Let's see. No? Yeah. Those who belong to Christ, verse 24, that's it. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its, and what's this, passions and lusts and problems. The fruit that he referred to there. See, the first point of the message this morning is that all we are, or ever hope to be in this life and without Christ, of course, is clay pots. A pastor was once asked why so many of the heroes of the Bible were so flawed. Think about it. Noah got drunk. Abraham lied. Jacob was a deceiver. Rahab was a harlot. Samson was a womanizer. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah struggled with depression. Peter, he was a denier of Christ. The pastor's answer was classic. He said to this person that asked this, quote, "It's because that's all God has to work with. All perfect people are in heaven. That's who we have to work with. See, we're just clay pots, broken and marred and weak and fragile." Isn't it true? We're so easily sometimes hurt or offended or broken or tempted, and then we fall. Someone called the church, quote, "the march of the unqualified." That's us, clay pots, unqualified to do for God what we're doing. Listen, God prefers those who are willing to take off their self-righteous masks, admit their flaws and weaknesses and mistakes and sins, and who will then cry out to God for help. God specializes in taking the nobodies of this world and making them somebodies. That's what He does. That's what He loves to do. See, all He can use is a broken, cracked, marred clay pot, because there's nobody else to use. That's what we all are. Sometimes, our next point, point number two here, sometimes the greatest treasures comes in ordinary things, ordinary pots. See, it says in our text, verse 7, we have this treasure in clay pots. We have this treasure. So back there to 2 Corinthians, verse 7. Oh, I couldn't find it. I was in 1 Corinthians. No wonder. Such a mess, messed up here. He says this in verse 7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Back up in verse 6, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." And then in verse 8 he says, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." Sometimes the greatest treasure comes in ordinary things. We have this treasure in earthen clay pots. Clay pots in ancient times were useful for many things, but sometimes very important, valuable things were put in them. Back in 1947, a Bedouin shepherd boy threw a rock into a cave and heard something break. And so that he went on into the cave and he found three jars. And in those jars were scrolls, were manuscripts. Well, he didn't know what he had found, this little shepherd boy. So he took the three scrolls into town and he sold them for $29. Only to find out later that he had stumbled upon the greatest collection of biblical manuscripts that were ever found in the 20th century. They were considered priceless. Paul says, "All I am, all you are, is a common, fragile, broken clay pot. That's all we are." And maybe you have come here today and that describes you. Someone or something has been thrown at you and as a result, you feel shattered and broken and of no value. That's okay. Because your value is not determined by how you feel or what you've done or what you have. Your value is determined by the treasure that is inside of you. But we have this treasure, it says, in jars of clay, Paul says. So what is the treasure? Well, I believe we find the answer to that question in verse 6, where it says this: For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, watch this, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The treasure that is in you and in me as His children, as those that have come to Christ, who have come to God through faith in Christ, those of us who have done that, the treasure is called the knowledge of God that's in you. But knowledge here does not just mean factual knowledge, but it says experiential knowledge. So it's the light of the experiential knowledge of the glory of God that's in you in the faith of Christ. Now think about that for a moment. To experience the presence of God in your life. Now that's a treasure. That's a treasure. And he says here in this text that this experiential knowledge of Christ, of God is in the face of Christ, is in His presence. The face of Christ means more than just being in His presence. It means more than that. It is saying that Jesus is looking your way and He's very much interested in you. He's aware of you and loves you. See, standing face to face, if I'm to stand face to face to you, that speaks of relationship, knowing one another. And so we experience the knowledge of God in the face of Christ. Tony Evans said this, quote, "The closer you get to Christ, the more of God you will experience in your life." See, it's pointing to having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no way that you can have the experiential knowledge of God, not just factual. Anybody can have that. The only way you can have it is in the face of Christ. The only way you can have it is to have a relationship with Christ. The only way you can do that is to go to the foot of the cross, confess that you don't, confess your sin, confess you don't deserve it, and cry out to Him to save you and to come into your life. It's kind of like He's saying, God the Father is looking at you and saying, would you marry my son? And then trusting Christ as Savior is saying, yes, I will. I'll marry your son. I'll become one with him. He'll become one with me. He will become part of my life, a big, major part. The change in a Christian's life when it comes to Christ is as great as it is when two people, individual people, come together in marriage. It's as great as that's supposed to be, as far as your oneness and your life change. That's what he says. Well, that brings us to another point. Point three. God put this great treasure in clay pots on purpose. That's what verse 7 goes on and says. He says, this treasure in earthen vessels, this treasure in clay pots, is to show that this all-surpassing power, the treasure, is from God and not from us. See, God does not choose a vault to put it in. He doesn't choose the powerful and the wise. No, He chooses the weak and the broken and the struggling. Those that are looked down upon as far as the world is concerned. Those that are considered, they have no worth. They're not worth much. I would never hire them. God says, I'll hire them. Come to me. Because I'm looking for those that are broken, those that are sinful, those that are weak, and they know it, that that's who I am without Christ. See, God does it this way. so that when great things happen, people will know without a doubt who did it. When people are saved and lives are changed and when families are restored, when broken hearts are healed and sins forgiven, when hope and peace are given to those in their darkest hour of our lives, the world will know that it is something only God could do. Why? Because He used the broken pot to do it. See, all we are is broken, fragile clay pots. Ray Pritchard, Pastor Ray Pritchard, said that when God wants to win a victory, He chooses a loser and He makes him a winner. Because the less we are, the more He becomes to us. I like what John Piper said. He said this, quote, "Your ordinariness is not a liability. It's an asset if you really want God to get all the glory. No one is too common and too weak and too shy and too inarticulate and too disabled to do what God wants them to do in their life." So here's the problem that I see. For many Christians, that treasure, that experiential knowledge of God that's placed in their heart, it's called the light of that knowledge in our heart, has never been unwrapped. It's there. It's never been unwrapped. So how do we unwrap that gift, that treasure? The answer is, in verse 10 and 11 and 12, the answer is something in us must die. Verse 10, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. So that, why? Why must we die? So that the life of Jesus in us, that treasure, may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. He says, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. Why? So that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15:31. He said, I die daily. Is he saying, physically I die daily and then God brings me back and that happens every day? No. He says, I die daily. Then he said this in Galatians 2:20. Same idea. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I see that as reality, and I see that biblical truth every day. I wake up in the morning with that truth in mind. And so as a result, it's no longer I that live. It's not the clay pot any longer. It's the treasure within me, the Christ that's living in me. So how do I unwrap that experiential knowledge of God in me? Well, something has to die. Let me explain it this way. That hard shell like self-life must be put to death. And to do that, the clay pot has to be broken. When the clay pot of my self-life is finally broken and put to death, the new life of God within me, i.e. the treasure, will shine through us. To help us understand this better, Ray Pritchard went on and said this. He said, let's go back and look at verse 7. The New Living Translation says this. It's on the screen there for you. We now have this light shining in our hearts. The treasure. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. If you have a light inside a jar, a clay jar, how will it ever light up the room? One way only, the jar must be broken. Once broken, then the light shines everywhere. So it is with us, he says, as long as we stay in control of everything, and life is good, and we are in excellent health, and our marriage is fine, and our children are doing well, and we have a good job, and our friends love us, and we don't have any problems in the world. As long as all that is true, when people look at us, they will barely see the light within. But let the clay pot be broken, then the beauty of the light can be clearly seen. But the breaking hurts, you say. Yeah, you're right. It does. It hurts. But out of our brokenness, the light of Jesus shines clearly. There's no way that you can unwrap, well, unquote, there's no way that you can unwrap the treasure within the hard shell of your self-life unless it is crushed. And by faith considered dead, crucified with Christ. That the life within can shine. Then new life is experienced. Paul says, I die daily. Every day I get up, I choose to walk with Him and do what He wants. Every day I seek to live the crucified life. I say, not my will today, but your will be done. See, what we see described in verses 8 and 9 are all the things designed by God to expose and kill something that is in the way of you unwrapping your treasure. See, God wants the self-life gone and the life of God in you to live, but He can't do that unless He breaks you first. You'll see it. We are hard-pressed. We're perplexed. We're persecuted. We're struck down. We always carry around that death of Christ that's related to that. One last point. How do you know if you have unwrapped the treasure in the face of Christ? How do you know if this is something taking place in your life? The answer is clear. It's given in verses 8 and 9. It talks about four things. When I'm pressured, I will not be crushed. When I'm confused, I will not become discouraged. When opposition comes or I'm persecuted, I'll not stop. And when you are knocked down by a 1-2 punch, circumstances of life, you will always get up. Why is that? Because of who's inside you. Because of the power of the indwelling Christ in you. Satan can't burst the bubble if it's God who's the source of that. If you by faith choose to unwrap the treasure within, does not mean you will not face trouble. It does not mean you will not be confused or sometimes even knocked down. It means that when it happens, when you are confused or hurt or knocked down, it means that when it happens, the power of God will be there to lift you up and to get you through. Pastor Ray Pritchard went on and he said this, if I have victory, it is victory through trouble, not victory apart from it. That's the message I want you to hear today. We're just clay pots with a treasure. And that's Him in us. As we choose to die to self through brokenness, we will shine. Isn't that what we need? That's what I need to shine. Father, thank you for the truth that there's purpose when it comes to suffering, purpose when it comes to heartache and loss. And there's purpose in it. Father, it's so that the outer shell of our self-life, our pride and our ego and our self-will and all that stuff will be broken so you can shine. There's purpose in losing our job, losing our health, losing our mate for the Christian is so that we can be broken so that the light of the experience of God inside of us will shine. Help us to never forget that when we go through hard times, when things don't go right. All God's doing is trying to break us so He can live through us. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of choruses, and I didn't write them in my notes here, so we have them on, they're on the screen. Take your hymnal and turn to 112, and we'll sing that one, and then we'll sing 114 in your hymnal there. Oops. Hymn number 112 and 114. Why don't you stand? Get you up and...